Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. This Aspire podcast is being recorded and aired for March the 28th, 2026. And I am, as always, very, very grateful you chose to be with us. I have a very interesting person that emails me from time to time. She wants me to leave her name out of it, so I'm going to. But the little background on her, she used to come to the center when I was in Escondido teaching formally. And now, we've kind of lost touch. I mean, now she wants to ask questions. She attended all of my workshops and such, but never really grasped a hold of it. So here's what she wrote me. And she asked me, she listens to our podcast, so she asked me to do this. She said, after just turning 45 years old, and then she pauses here and says, no, Greg, 50. And I went, okay, so I'm listening to or reading this. That's her sense of humor. After 50, what is left to do? And then she talks about her own idea, her own brand of spirituality. And none of it has anything to do with anything I ever taught her. So I don't know where she's been all these years, what she's been listening to. People have a tendency to want to listen to the things that comfort them after, 50 years old or so. More than ever, they tend to look at it and go, oh, my God, I'm going to the doctor more than I used to. I realize that this meat suit of mine is going to be dying, and she lives, she says, in patterns and repetitions that she finds boring, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. So she wants to know after 40, no, she says then 50, after 50, what's there left to do? There's so many things that you didn't do when you were younger. And you didn't see the importance of those things, and you gave yourself over to your genetic nature, your ego, your pride, your vanity. You gave yourself over to the worst parts of yourself. And there is nothing I could have said then, which I wouldn't say to you now, and that is you don't do that. And I know everyone else is doing it, as you said in your email. You just said you kind of followed along with whatever was going on in your family and the small culture and society, as you put it, that you lived in and still live in. But you still feel very unfulfilled. And she says, no matter how I try to please people or to be happy, I find I am never any of those things, as she said here in her email. There's nothing I can do for you. There's nothing anybody can do for you. You're going to die the way your parents lived. And you heard me talk about this many, many times when I was in the flesh down there in Escondido, and you ignored it, or you thought I was full of crap, whatever. I don't know what. You know, you've never really said to me how you felt about being in the classes. And we did some pretty intense work down there for that kind of thing, you know, learning about ourselves, about being self-realized, about coming to a place where meditation took over and you learned to live a different lifestyle. You're just not interested in any of that. And I understand why, and I think you do too. And there's just, what can I say? What should you be doing at 50 years old? You should be assessing the state of your life. What did you do with your life? How do you live in your living? What is going on there in how you live in your living? What are you all about? I don't think you have the mental acuity to be able to understand all of that right now, because from what I gather from your email, you're frightened. You know that you're coming towards the end and you're not going to be doing very much when it comes to the practice because you can't. I have a lot of people like this. They don't get it. They don't have any respect for their life. They have no sense of the significance of their life, and they don't really care. They think, well, I'll just die, like, you know, fade away, and that'll be the end of it. And you think it's going to be when you die like it is in the world you live in now, but that's not true. We are hurled into our next life based on everything we did or didn't accomplish within ourselves in this world, in this lifetime. And you don't understand that the body we took on like we would wearing a coat or wearing, you know, our street clothes. It's just something we inherit, something we have to do, something we have to go through to understand the significance of our life. So I would say this to you. Take very small steps and make every step count. Be kind. Be compassionate. Those are simple things. But more than that, sit with yourself. Meditate. Work upon yourself a little bit. And what does that mean? It means to listen to that still small voice within you. And instead of ignoring it or allowing your thoughts to whisk you away into the oblivion of your assumptions and presumptions, sit with it. Don't talk to your mind. Don't have exchanges with your thoughts. Just let them float in and let them float out. And they will change. And if you notice, you will see that they change. Your capacity for understanding will start to change a little bit because you have to come to that place where you understand. Why are these the only thoughts I can think? And why do I only use my mind to think? Why can't I use my mind for something other than thinking? That doesn't dawn on us. That is not something that registers in us. I used to be this way when I was a little boy. I had a little fort, and I would sit there, and while the other kids were playing baseball and such, I sat there, forgive me, worrying about why can't I be and think like the other kids? Why? I don't have their thoughts. And then when I discovered my thoughts, I realized as I was a teenager that these were the only thoughts I could have. Why are these the only thoughts I can have? Why can't I have something different? Well, I found out as I went along and went to India and started to learn the style of living in more conscious realms, that I was getting them from my emotions, and my emotions were generated by my body. And my body was a 911 phone call to my ego constantly. And I realized the only thoughts that Gregory can have are the ones he produces from his genetics and his background. So what should you be doing at 50? Take a look at your life. What you and I did when we were younger that were a product of the thoughts that we could think and the only thoughts that we could think. And start to take stock in that. Why were these the only thoughts? And do I even need a thought? That's the big shamata. Can I live without thinking? I can have all these thoughts in my mind. Can I live without them? Can I let them just pass? Can I not allow them to affect me, to make me think right, wrong, good, bad, up, down, in, out? Can I do that? And yes, you can. But the likelihood of you doing it is nil, not much, because you will find you're addicted to your emotions and your thoughts. And those are the things that produce all of the mischief in our life. I'll answer your next question tomorrow, and I look forward to doing it. I hope this helps some of you who maybe are in the same boat she's in, and I don't know what I can say to help you except Let love live you and don't die the way your parents lived. Be back on the air tomorrow. Please forgive me. Namaste.